Well, good morning, everyone. I also want to just wish you a happy new year, welcome you to worship today. My name is Phil, the lead pastor here, for those who might be tuning in, new to BCC. I hope that you had a meaningful Christmas and New Year's, albeit probably different for many of you, but I hope that you were able to celebrate nonetheless. You know, things have been also different around here, but it was great to see many of you on Christmas Eve for our outdoor candlelight service. As you know, we've been pausing our weekly gatherings during this current surge in the pandemic, but we are hoping to do a monthly thing for December and January, and it was great to just see many of you and worship with you on Christmas Eve. We'll have some details about a January gathering coming up soon. But in the meantime, grateful that we can gather this way and worship and now stand under the word together. Today is Epiphany Sunday, and it marks the end of the Christmas season. Historically, Epiphany Sunday is a day where we look at the text about the three wise men and their journey to Bethlehem. It's a day where we celebrate just the revelation that Christ is this new king that has come to usher in a new kingdom. I was tempted, though, to tell a lesser-known story, and you may have or may not have heard, but there's also the story of the three wiser women. I'd like to pull up this image here, but the three wiser women, instead of bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, brought diapers and a week's worth of casseroles and formula, a little bit more of a practical gift for Mary. But alas, I thought, let's stick with the biblical tradition, and we'll go with the Matthew 2 today. C.S. Lewis, in his novel, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, tells a story of how three children, Eustace, Lucy, and Edmund, were drawn into the magical world of Narnia through a picture on their uncle's wall. They were standing in this room looking at this image of a ship at sea, and as they're staring at the image, suddenly the waves began to move and the picture came to life. And slowly, they were drawn through the frame of this picture and find themselves in the very scene. They feel the waves and the wind against their faces, and they are on this ship. Bruce Hindmarsh is a professor up at Regent College, and he looks at this scene as a beautiful metaphor for the Christian life. And he suggests that in our spiritual journey, we are called in a similar way to be pulled through the frame of the biblical story, to move from being mere observers to active participants, where we experience firsthand the spiritual realities depicted in the scriptures. As we look at the story of the wise men's journey, we see a group of people who are drawn from afar, initially just observing something unique in the sky, to being active participants, overjoyed as they encounter this newborn king. What I'd like to explore with you today is how we might go on a similar journey to be pulled through the frame, be pulled from afar, from our sense of perhaps distance, into the very story of Jesus. For some of us today, this might speak to where we're at. Like the wise men, maybe we come today feeling perhaps distant, disconnected. I want to trace their journey to Bethlehem and suggest some ways that we might rediscover the fullness of this newborn king. Dale Bruner, in his commentary on the book of Matthew, notices that there are three types of revelation in the story, three ways that God reveals himself to these wise men, which draws them closer and closer to Bethlehem. This journey from the east towards Bethlehem actually begins through natural revelation. The whole journey begins as they notice this star in the sky. And Bruder notices that there's a biblical tradition that the created order speaks to us and often draws us on a journey of discovery towards something deeper, towards God. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Day to day they pour forth speech. And perhaps today, we might discover again the ways that God wants to draw us to him, speak to us through the miracle, through the beauty, through the wonder of natural revelation. This has been a big part of my story, and maybe you can trace this in your own experience, those moments where you were just captured by the wonder of creation. This last week, we took some time off, and I was able to be with the family, and we spent some time out in nature. We went on a beautiful hike on Wednesday at Whitehorn Trail as we were walking out towards the ocean just south of Birch Bay. And it was a blustery day. The wind was blowing. The rain was pouring. And when we got to the end of the trail, there was this beautiful lookout as we looked over this chaotic ocean. The tide was high and the whole beach was wiped out. But we just stood there. And as we felt the elements against our face, as we saw the waves moving, it again just reminded me of the power of our Creator, of the wonder of creation. It drew me outside of the four walls that have been containing a lot of us more frequently now, away from the screens that sometimes distract me. And there was this beautiful recognition again of the power and the beauty and the provision of our God. Perhaps that might be part of your journey. I want to remind us that of all the things that are closed right now, the great outdoors are not closed. And maybe part of our journey towards renewal might be a journey outside to discover the ways that the heavens want to pour forth speech, declare the glory of God to you. It's interesting that I think a lot of us begin our journey of discovery and faith through natural revelation. Washington State is notoriously known as one of the least church states in America. There's a number of people who on the Pew Research surveys say that they would consider themselves to have no religious identity, religious nuns as they've been labeled. And perhaps some of you who are watching are maybe in that place today where maybe you feel a little bit disconnected from church or turned off from church. And yet, I wonder if there's something still stirring within you, this desire to discover something more. It's interesting that those who claim to have no religious identity in the Pacific Northwest still indicate in surveys that there's something in the created order that creates within them a sense of wonder. 62% of people who have no religious identity say that at least once a month they have a sense of wonder and awe at the universe. Does that maybe speak to you? Is maybe that where you're at today, that you're not fully sure about Jesus or church or religion, but there's something in this created order that is beckoning you to seek something deeper, something transcendent, something that is of God. And so this journey began with natural revelation. But notice that they needed more than just natural revelation, for they ended up lost in Jerusalem. The star on its own did not point them fully to Bethlehem. And so the chief priests and the teachers of Scripture are summoned, and Dale Bruner says that it is then through biblical revelation that they discover the second leg of their journey. As they pore over the Scriptures, they discover in the prophets that this newborn king would not be born in the center of power in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem. Which is a reminder to us that our journey towards God is also aided by the gift of Scripture. It is through biblical revelation that we discover more fully who God is and what this journey of faith is all about. Perhaps a beautiful reminder to us in the beginning of this new year, a call to come back to the Scriptures. As covenanters, this is a core part of our identity. The first affirmation of the covenant church is the centrality of the Word of God. The Word of God is the only perfect rule for faith, life, and doctrine and conduct. I wonder if there is an invitation in this text for us to come back to the Word of God. You know, in the new year, I think a lot of us have high hopes for this, and it's an opportunity for a reset. And perhaps this week, we might commit to the Scriptures again. As we do so, I want to encourage you to not go all or nothing in your relationship with Scripture. I think a lot of times we have high hopes the first week of January. This is the year we're going to read Scripture more. Maybe we'll get through the whole Scriptures. And then come January 21 or January 30, we find ourselves out of rhythm. And so many of you have maybe read Genesis like 1 to 20 a lot and haven't got a whole lot further than that. My encouragement to you this year is to know that we can always return to Scripture. And if we find ourselves maybe out of rhythm, maybe some of us are out of rhythm right now, to know that we can always turn back. And on a very practical level, one of the things that I like to do is I just always have a bookmark in a part of Scripture. And maybe there's a couple days where I'm out of sync or I get distracted, but I come back to that bookmark and continue the journey. Biblical revelation is this gift that allows us to discover God more fully. Can I invite you back to the Scriptures to stand under them this new year? But I want us to notice in this text that while the chief priests, the experts of Scripture, know all the answers, they're able to point the wise men to Bethlehem, notice that they themselves actually don't go to Bethlehem. I think this is a very telling part of the story. It reminds us that we can have all the answers, we can understand the Scriptures, we can understand the doctrine, but not actually follow through and live them out, not actually be pulled through the frame and into the story. The wise men know the answers, but they don't go on the journey. Which leads us to this third source of encounter, of revelation, which I think is sometimes overlooked or pushed to the side. But the wise men, as they take the journey to Bethlehem, now encounter experiential revelation. They don't just have an inkling that there's something going on through natural revelation. They don't just have the right answers through biblical revelation. But now, as they stand in the manger, it says they are overjoyed. And they proceed to pour out all their gifts at the feet of Jesus. And then they take great risk to avoid the tyranny of Herod to protect this newborn king. We see that they have been pulled through the frame and into the story where they now experience the joy of this new king. And it captures their heart and compels them to live their lives fully in service of Jesus. My prayer for us is that we too might not only understand what the biblical story says theoretically, but experience the wonder of it. It is one thing to be able to teach the doctrine of atonement, understand grace, to give verbal assent to the idea that we are saved by grace, but it is a whole other thing to experience the freedom of being loved, the joy that there is hope for us, that there is a new kingdom that is breaking into this world. We are invited to be pulled through the frame and into the story. You know, I think sometimes in the Western church, we have missed out on this experiential revelation. And sometimes I think we've even been maybe suspicious of it. You know, Stephen spoke really powerfully about this last week in the story of Simeon and Anna, that there is this beautiful balance of their experience of the Spirit and their immersion in Scripture. Now, we need to make sure we don't elevate our personal experience as this authority for discernment. We need to hold biblical revelation and experiential revelation together. We interpret our experience through the Word. But we are invited to experience things. And I think sometimes in the Western church, we have substituted transformation for information, and we've stopped there. Can I remind us that the Scriptures call us to not simply understand, but experience? Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher, intellectual during the Great Awakening. And during these revivals in the Great Awakening, there was some suspicion at times of the movement of the Spirit as people were experiencing God in very experiential ways, powerful ways. And many of Edwards' colleagues looked down upon these experiences, and they wrote them off as just pure emotionalism, as people getting caught up in the oratory of a great preacher. But Jonathan Edwards responded by having a much more balanced approach. And he wrote this great book on discernment called The Religious Affections. And one of the quotes he has in that text is this. He says that the scriptures do everywhere place religion at the level of affect. That's kind of a mouthful, so let me repeat that. The scriptures themselves do everywhere place religion at the level of affect, such as fear, joy, zeal, passion, and love. What Edwards is saying is that the very scriptures that we are seeking to defend themselves tell us that the spiritual life is at the level of affections, of experience, of emotion. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience. These are things we don't just understand, but experience. And so Edwards went on to have a discerning approach, saying, let us not be opposed to the movements of the Spirit and the ways we experience these things. Let us be discerning, yes. Let us interpret our experience through Scripture, but let us be open to the experience of these spiritual realities. P.J. Watson is another writer, and he just gives a great analogy about the different levels of knowing. And he uses the analogy of how we might know about the gravitational force of the moon. And he says there's kind of three levels of awareness of this. At a very basic level, we could give propositional assent to the idea that the gravity functions different on the moon than on Earth. Maybe we've seen a video of it, and we could say, yes, I agree that if I was on the moon, it would be a different experience than down here. That's level one. We just give propositional assent. The second level, though, is a deep understanding of the concept. And this might be a scientist or a physicist who understands why that's actually the case. They could tell you in detail how this all works from a scientific level. This is kind of like the chief priests in our story. They understand all the details. They have a deep understanding of the concept. But the third level that Watson says is to have an acquaintance with these truths or an experience. And this would be like an astronaut who has been on the moon and experienced the thrill of jumping around in this different gravitational force. We move from just propositional assent to deep understanding to an acquaintance, an experience. The scriptures, my friend, call us to this third level of knowing. Yes, it is right for us to give propositional assent that we agree that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and it helps as we grow in a deep understanding of these concepts. But the goal is for us to experience the joy and the thrill of living with God, to be pulled through the frame and into the story. My prayer as we enter this new year is that we too might be drawn more deeper into an experience of the joy of who Jesus is. And that in this season, some of these practices of being out in nature, of immersing ourselves in the Word, of experiencing God through prayer and worship, might pull us as well through the frame and into the story. And as that happens, I pray that it too might compel us then to offer our lives, offer our gifts in service to this newborn King. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, I pray that even as we hear your word today, and as we now come to this table, that we might be drawn into a fuller and deeper awareness of who you are. May it capture our hearts, fill us with joy, and compel us to offer our lives to you in worship. Lord, we thank you that you have drawn these wise men into the story, and that's a reminder that those of us who perhaps feel distant, who feel like we don't belong, are invited into this story, that we belong. And so as we come now to your table, would you remind us again of your invitation, of your mercy, which is for all of us today. We pray in your name. Amen.